Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. You love Squarespace. You know who else loves Squarespace? Keanu motherfucking Reeves. Did you see that ad on the Super Bowl? Keanu Reeves used Squarespace to build a website. Now it's me, it's Keanu, and it's the fucking dude from Big Lebowski. That's right, Jeff Bridges. All of us are on Squarespace. Why? Because it's easy to turn your unique idea into a website. You can showcase your work, your blog, whatever you want to do. Everything's customizable from the look, the feel, the settings. It's so easy. You don't have to install anything. You don't have to patch anything. You don't have to upgrade anything. I keep my websites going. I can update it all the time. I love Squarespace. Why don't you hit the Squarespace right now for a free trial? Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Also, today's show is brought to you by the new breakout comedy, AP Bio, from executive producer Seth Meyers and Lorne Michaels. AP Bio stars Glenn Howerton and Patton Oswalt, and critics call it laugh out loud funny. I've seen it. It's really, really good. Don't miss AP Bio Thursday, March 1st on NBC and streaming now on the NBC app. Also, if you're in the market for How Did This Get Made merch, head on over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. We got cool stuff. You can make it into whatever you want. Sweatshirts, t-shirts, stickers, you name it, you got it. All right, let's get into the show. How did
this get made? Sex, drugs, and lots of wigs. We saw rock stars, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter help to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado the Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. And hello, people of Los Angeles. We are live here at Largo, our LA home. And we are so excited to talk to you about tonight's movie, the 2001 classic, Rockstar. Yes, this movie is almost 20 years old, and that bums me out. Here to talk about that movie is my co-host. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas. Jerks! Welcome! Welcome, Jason!
How are you, Bo?
I'm doing good. I've seen this movie twice.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it a movie, though? I watched this movie and I was like, this whole movie seems like a trailer for a movie that I don't care to watch.
I'd argue a bigger question, if it is a trailer, what genre is it?
Because... I have a second question. Yeah. Does Jennifer Aniston age?
No.
You just said this movie came out in 2001. Yeah. She is identical.
If you told me it came out last week, but yeah, sure. And Mark
is
Wahlberg,
she a
too.
Highlander?
Mark Wahlberg, too. These are ageless people.
Are these people Eternals? Are they the Immortals? Are they Highlanders? What is a Highlander?
We will figure it out. You know, speaking of which... making her triumphant return to the podcast, please welcome our co-host, June Diane Raphael. Take it in, June.
Welcome
home,
June. Welcome home.
It's good to be here.
So the reason why I watched this movie twice is because I watched it and then I watched it again with you.
I've never had the experience before where I've watched a movie. I usually say things to Paul and comment and we talk a little bit. I watched this in silence.
It's true. I was checking to making sure that you were awake at certain
points.
Yeah,
but I was.
Because you liked it so much?
I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
You asked me some concerning questions.
The one question I asked a number of times was, is this a comedy?
I will say, and I don't want to spoil it for the audience, but you did say, I would say a good 20 minutes in, you go, so wait a second. He sings in a cover band? That was...
No,
and I was like, and yeah.
I hope your answer was, no, babe, a tribute band. My first note is, oof, this is bad. That does not bode well.
Well, joining us tonight is a very special guest. This guy is a part of this hilarious new show on Comedy Central. It's called Corporate. It airs every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Please welcome Jake Weissman.
Whoop, whoop. Hi.
Welcome, Jake.
Thank you for having me.
And we were talking backstage. You have seen, like, you saw this movie before it was assigned to you as part of this podcast.
Yeah, I actually have watched it twice, but the first time I didn't realize it was just 2 hours of watching the Guitar Hero title sequence. But yeah, I've seen it a bunch. I mean, I love it. It's the worst movie I've ever seen, but it's hard not to love.
It is an odd movie because it's very pure in what it's saying. I mean, so Mark Wahlberg in this film, he is the lead of a tribute band, and just to give you like a brief outline of the plot, and is then quickly brought into the actual band that he tributes as the lead singer.
Wait, can I ask a quick question? Yeah. Is he in Pittsburgh as the lead singer of the...
I thought this whole movie took place in California and they never left, but...
It doesn't matter. Keep going.
Yeah, no, I think he is in Pittsburgh.
He is in Pittsburgh, and they get on a plane and go to California.
But then they end up in Seattle, right? It doesn't matter.
Sure?
It doesn't matter. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, anyway, basically, that's all you need to know, and it's loosely based on the, this guy, Ripper Owens, who was pulled in to be the lead singer of Judas Priest, but it's not his story. It's just like a guy or gal heard that story and was like, that's a movie. And didn't do any more research after that. Just basically heard, did you hear that there was that dude who got put in Judas Priest? Yeah, make that a movie. Great. Do no more research. And then the movie goes. It's a weird movie because your hero is essentially fighting for being unoriginal. Like, that's... That's where we, like,
which his brother says to him at one point. His brother basically is like, you don't even want to, it's in the trailer there, you don't even want to do your own thing. You just want to sing someone else's songs. Yes.
Yes. That's it.
I agree with
the
brother.
And also, his bandmates who at points want to riff and, like, go off and create some other
songs.
Write their own songs. And it is a strange position we as an audience are in, which is to root for the creative force that simply wants to mimic what has already been done.
Yes, pay tribute to. Like, and his reward is you get to pay tribute to this band by now being in this band.
It's weird because it's kind of like, it's such a lame thing to base a movie on. It's like telling someone they'll never be a substitute teacher. You know? Yeah. It's like, you won't do it. I mean, you could, but you won't.
And again, I feel like there's a lot of things that play in this film where basically like you see this guy's life. And it's a sad life. He clearly lives at home with his parents past the time that is appropriate.
They're making him wear this wig.
He's being forced.
By the way, though, the first 20 minutes, this was a loose watching for me. There were other things going on. So I say this with a grain of salt. But all of the small children in that house, were those his brothers and sisters?
No. I thought this for a while, too.
Okay.
But then at one point, the mother answers the phone and says something like, Sunshine Childcare, or something like that. And I was like, Oh.
And there also was a gate on the stairs.
Yeah.
And it's like, do they not let the kids up the stairs?
No.
Why?
Dude, no kids upstairs. Wahlberg brings that kid downstairs and is like, what did I say about no kids in my room?
And I thought it was his brother, but it's
I thought
not
it was his
clearly...
son. I did. I immediately assumed it was his son.
They lay a lot of track in the beginning of the movie. Like, there's something, like, there's something that Mark Wahlberg does that I feel like is unparalleled by any other actor, which is, like, he can play, like, a lovable doofus in a, like, a wonderful way. Like, I buy this guy at church. Like, I'm like, yeah, he's, like, going to church. Like, he seems, like, genuinely into this band. Like, this is the scene. I'll show you the scene, the breakup scene. Because you feel for him. Like, he's, here.
Look, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Tired of just being a cover band.
We are not a cover band, we're a tribute band.
No, dude, we are a cover band. The problem is, we've been covering the tunes. You think you're in goddamn Steel Dragon. I love you, man, but you're mental, you really are. You need to get a grip on reality, man. You don't know where Bobby Beers ends, and you begin.
Yeah, I'm mental. I'm only mental because I don't want to be in some cheesy bar band that butchers the music people came to hear just to trap men to listen to your crappy originals.
Crappy original?
Yeah.
I think Hole and a Half kicks ass, and I'm proud of shit to have written it.
Well, come on, guys. I mean, we started this band because we love playing Dragon tunes. We couldn't imagine playing anything else. What happened?
Dude, I thought it'd be a goof.
A goof?
Chris, seriously, wouldn't you rather fail as yourself than succeed as some Bobby Pierce clone?
Well, yeah, well, Rob, maybe you can write me a song about why in the hell I would ever want to do that.
All right, you're gone, man. Just go.
I mean,
that's amazing. Do you think, real question, do you think there was somebody from HBO who watched this movie and was like, wait a minute. Okay, I want that guy as McNulty, and I want that guy, and I want that guy as Deadwood. Put these guys in two huge roles on our network.
Wait, I want to talk about that scene specifically, but the beginning of that scene, because this is like a thing I see in a lot of movies where the singer finds out he's replaced by going into the practice and finding out there's a singer that looks just like him. It's like they waited for him to be right outside. They're like, okay, start playing now. You know what I mean? And so he can come in and find out that way.
Yeah, he's on his way, guys.
Yeah.
Well, he, like, so he, you know, he's upset, obviously, because he doesn't want to play originals. That is the worst thing as a musician that you could possibly do, to have any dreams outside of that. And this movie, and I looked, because I was concerned about what genre is it. It is drama. And then that...
I have an update. It is not.
But then, like, the next moment of that scene is like, and I'm taking my mic stand back.
Yeah.
And I'm taking this
it's
other thing.
It's the scene from The Jerk.
Well, as a matter of fact, Avril, who cuts all of our clips, mashed it up with Wayne's World, and it's the exact same scene from Wayne's World.
I think I'm coming back. I don't. Yeah, well, that's because I'm not.
Fine, then go.
I'm gone.
Go then.
I am.
I leave now. I'm never coming back. Okay?
I'm serious. If I leave now, I'm not coming back.
Go.
I'm gone.
Go then.
But I am.
Never. Heard you the first time, boy.
Well, well, well. So, there's so much stuff to talk about before he gets into the group. Church group?
Yeah. Also, how old are he and Aniston meant to be in this world? They seem too old to live, be this naive, I guess.
He, when they were shooting the movie, almost 30 for both of them.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like they're playing young 20s because at one point Aniston says, like, you wrote me a song when you were 15
yes.
years old, which means that they've either dated for like 15 years
yes.
or... They're like, I feel like he should be younger. I feel like he should be younger.
Is that how you feel, Paul? You feel like he should be younger?
I feel like he should be younger.
Yeah, I agree. For the degree of how naive they both are throughout, it seems to me to be that they would be like 22 years old, like
yes.
wide-eyed, kind
but
of like,
a
holy
cow. But
that's
a big part of her character, though, right? That she's, like, she has that scene later on, spoiler alert, with Rachel Stewart in the limo where there are girls that are 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her whole, like, her whole character is based on the fact that she is older. Like, I think she's meant to be, whether or not she looks that age or whatever, I think her character is meant to be, like, 30.
But yep. I want to also say her character is problematic to me in the sense that, so her job is that she's the band manager of a tribute band? Like, that's where she's
someone's
like,
someone's got to manage
stop.
Them.
And
she is a bit the manager of one of the two Pittsburgh-based Steel Dragon tribute bands.
And it's a band that I believe they say we are the best in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Not like we're the best on the East Coast.
They wouldn't
not
dare
we're the
say
best
that.
In three states.
And
yeah.
they're all wearing, when that scene happens, when they are in the parking lot after the real Steel Dragon show, and they're both flying cars, and they get into a fight where each guy partners up to fight the person he's identically dressed as, that shit was crazy. That if I saw that in real life, I would watch it happen and then kill myself. Because life will never get better than that. Than watching 12 men fight each other.
Yeah, there they are.
Each of them lined up against their enemy.
I don't have the fight, I'm sorry, but...
Heartbreak.
But yeah, they...
she also mentions, though... we'll have to get into all of it. Their relationship, by the way, like, dissolves within a day. Within one day of him getting this job. Like, he's literally on a walk from the car to, like, the recording studio, and the 15-year relationship falls apart in that walk. But she does say that she's going to be building a business in Portland.
Yeah, coffee shop?
With a friend.
Isn't she? She's in
Seattle. I'm sorry. But,
oh, boy.
So sorry.
We owe Portland and Seattle an apology right now.
Should I leave? But what was that business? Was that the coffee shop?
I think that when she's at the end,
how dare she call that like a business? It was pitched as though it was like a new startup, like a real disruptor.
But by the way, June, it might have been because this movie took place in the 80s, and obviously
it's Starbucks.
Like,
started Starbucks. That's the T-shirt. Aniston started Starbucks.
But like, don't you think it's like? Because I guess like, spoiler alert, like Mark Wahlberg becomes like
we
Eddie.
We don't
Vedder.
Have to spoiler alert this fucking trash movie. It's not necessary. You're welcome if it's spoiled.
Mark Wahlberg becomes Eddie Vedder. So you know, like,
I feel like he was just like he because he's a Mark Wahlberg's a rapper, and he clearly is just doing movies where he's like, I'm not a rapper, because in this he goes from like metal god to like Kurt Cobain, who sucks. Like, he's doing anything except rapping. Like, the guy hates rap so much.
He does not like to... He leaves that part of his life behind.
Yeah, and he's just... And he still sucks.
There's a moment in the credit sequence where they... In the playback of the movie, because, you know, they have to, like, do playback where you mime to the music, and they played a Marky Mark track, and you can see his face, like...
His face falls.
Go fuck yourself. And then they put it in the movie. So it's really aggressive. It's like, remember that bit that you didn't like on set that we did? It's in the movie now.
The other weird thing about that scene when he's like the Kurt Cobain dude or the Eddie Vedder dude is he walks off stage in the middle of the song.
Yes.
And I think he's like addicted to that.
Oh, he never so finishes.
Crazy. He doesn't finish songs.
He's like, I'm going to go talk to Emily. And he walks off and they don't even solo. Nobody even like fills the space with a solo. They just vamp. They just vamp with the same melody they've been playing, just without vocals now. If you had paid money to see that concert, you would be like, fuck this. You'd be like, wait a minute, where's he going? Oh, okay. Oh, he's talking to that woman. Okay. Do you think he's gonna? Do you think he's gonna go back and sing the rest of the song? I don't know. He's still talking to that woman over there. She. Okay. What do you think? Well, is the guy playing a guitar solo? No. He's just vamping. Okay. Is he gonna? What are we doing? Should we leave? What's happening? He's still talking to the woman who's wearing an enormous knit shawl.
By the way, this is, I found it to even be more aggressive here. They're in the middle, all right, so if you can't see this, they're in the middle of one of their great shows at the Steel Factory. And now just imagine this. You're in the audience, you're watching a great band, and then this happens.
There's thousands of people here.
Just really just think about what goes on here, okay? This is in front of a giant audience.
Both what? There's no solo break after the chorus. They don't care. Ah! It's not how the song goes. Dude, I know how the song goes. Well, if you know how it goes, then play it right. Chris, you are taking this shit too seriously. That's right, I take this shit really seriously because the music deserves to be taken seriously. If you don't take it seriously, you don't deserve to play it.
A live show is going on.
All right, you need to get a grip. Get a grip. You've ruined your performance. Do not ruin mine.
This movie has the most uses of the finger.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of...
There's a lot of finger acting.
I remember saying to you a few times, Paul, like, is this a real song? Like, is this a song that I've heard before?
Well,
this is a real one.
June said it to me the third time the same song was played. She goes, no, this is a real song. I like this song. And I said... Well, no, you just heard it three times.
It's been played three times in this movie.
Wait, that's all it takes for you to like a song?
I like it. I've heard this.
Did you buy this soundtrack? Why do I feel like you bought this soundtrack after you watched the movie?
This is good music. I recognize it.
Okay, I will say this. When Talking Heads started playing in this movie,
yeah.
I lost my mind.
It's so literal.
I was like, how on earth did they license this?
But I would say, why on earth would you license the Talking Heads for a movie about metal, like, to show the passage of time? Like, they make a couple of weird music, like, I don't know, maybe it's a language of film thing that I don't understand, but it's like you're making a movie about people in the music industry that are making a specific type of music, but then like you use Bon Jovi, Talking Heads, so it's like, oh, I like that other stuff way better, and that's not the music that you're even doing. So it's a weird thing to pull you out with a more famous type of music that's not the music that you're even talking about.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
Yeah, in
it's
fact,
almost saying, it's almost reminding you, remember what good music sounds
like.
Hey everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show right now to hear a word from our sponsors. Oh man, oh man, oh man. Can I talk to you about SeatGeek? SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. I love SeatGeek. Here's my trick. I wait until the final moments, maybe even the game's already started or the concert is just about to start, and then I buy my tickets there. I swoop in and I get great seats, okay? And I do it via SeatGeek, not via Scalper, because I know that I'm not going to get ripped off. I know I'm going to get the best prices. And I've checked around. I bought tickets for June for her birthday to go see Hamilton here in LA. Was it expensive? Oh, fuck yeah. But when I went on SeatGeek, it was the least expensive of the most expensive tickets I saw. And I had the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's so easy to look around. You can actually see the stadium or where you're going, and you can really pick a seat that it just makes it easy. I love it. I love SeatGeek. This is just a benefit that they're advertising for us because I actually use it. So it's easy. You can get you can basically also grades all the tickets you do. Like, so you're like, oh yeah, you're getting more bang for your buck here. So if you know it's green, it's a good one. If it's red, it's like, not so hot. Anyway, it's a go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports to concerts to comedy to theater. I love it. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. That's right. Just download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code Bonkers, that's BONKERS. That's promo code Bonkers, BONKERS, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Oh, let's talk about Squarespace. Today's show is brought to you by the amazing people at Squarespace. Are you ready to start a new business? Do you want to make a stand out? We'll use Squarespace to get beautiful templates with world-class designs, because Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a new, unique website. Customize, optimize, analytics, nothing to install the patch or upgrade ever. If you have a question, customer support is waiting for you 24/7. Just they'll tell you what to do. Destiny's calling. It says you need a new website. Make it with Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com. Offer code BONKERS. Now back to our show.
In the beginning of the movie, I said to Paul, I guess I did say a lot of things. I wasn't as silent as I thought I was. But I did say to Paul, like, ugh, I can't believe I'm going to have to listen to this music the whole movie. Like, it was such a bummer for me to realize that this is the music. Because it's not music. It's not what I call music.
Oh, it's not? What do you call music, Jim?
You released four albums called Now That's Not What I Call Music. And it's just you just... It's just tracks that you don't like.
And it's you introing each song. Now, this is not what I would call music.
I like to know, I like a chorus I can hang my hat on. I like...
What kind of hat is it that you're hanging, Jim? Like a jaunty cap? An Amy Sherman Palladino nonsense hat? What kind of hat are we talking about? I will say, Dominic West, McNulty, who I will only call McNulty. McNulty's house in this movie is, anybody? Chilton Academy and Gilmore Girls.
Wow. That's a deep cut.
Pretty great. Pretty great.
By the way, I thought he was incredible in this movie. I thought he was great. Great.
You thought he was incredible in this movie?
I did. There was a lightness to him that I haven't seen him do. I enjoyed him. And listen, here's the thing. Jen Ann and Mark Wahlberg are so goddamn watchable.
100%.
They are so watchable. And they had a chemistry that could not be denied.
Oh, absolutely. There was,
and I was there for it.
Deep tongue kissing in this movie.
I feel like they all led with the tongue. Like the tongue came out of the mouth first before the lips hit every single time. Like that was the rule.
Like a shark jumping out of the water to get a pelican before
like
it goes
down below. In that sort of everyone is dancing scene, it was all tongue first. It was all just a bunch of tongues out. It was, I didn't know that's how you kiss, but I've adopted it since.
The best part of the morning after that dancing scene, I see this in movies, the orgy, the massive orgy.
Post-orgy.
I see this in movies and I'm always curious about it. And maybe I'm the one that's off, but the scene opens with Jennifer Aniston waking up and then realizing like she doesn't know where she is and then looking.
Yes.
Looking into her sheets. But I've seen this before in other movies, like looking into her sheets to see what she's wearing.
I thought it was like,
as though she couldn't feel it. Like, that's what I'm curious about. Like,
I would love it if she looked down, pulled the sheets down, and was just wearing a man's tuxedo. Like, oh no, what have I done? Not too bad. Not too bad. Tails, white tie. Don't mind.
Like, that's
a pet.
That's what happens to you, like, when you have an orgy, then, like, a little orgy creature comes in, puts different outfits on you all. Oh, leprechaun. Cool. All right. Yeah. What did I get?
It's as though these people are not in their own bodies to simply feel the clothing.
It also presumes situational amnesia.
Yes.
Like when you wake up, even after a night of hard partying and drinking and poor sexual decisions, you still kind of know what's up. Instead, it's kind of like...
Yes.
she goes,
everywhere.
She is genuinely shocked. As if she has been unconscious for 10 hours.
I also like that the way they got into that orgy was Mark Wahlberg had two drinks. Yeah. And then he's like, Hollywood is crazy. I'm going to fuck 3,000 people in one night.
By the way,
Jen Aniston in this photo is like, oh shit, did I fuck the guy wearing chainmail?
Who did not take off the chainmail.
Did I fuck the guy wearing chainmail?
Chainmail, not a comfortable thing to fall asleep in, or I imagine have sex in.
By the way, a very noisy shirt. Slink. It's like, imagine a slinky back and forth. That's the noise of fucking the guy wearing chainmail. Come on.
Why?
Her makeup and hair still
perfect.
Flawless.
And why did she change? Why did she change her look so drastically? It wasn't like she was in Pittsburgh and was like, I can't look the way I want. But the minute she comes to Hollywood, it's like glitter, a star, and her, like, she, like, literally overnight changes into this new look.
Uh-oh, what do we got?
This woman is on the edge of it. Look at how close to the edge of the bed she is. Hanging off of that bed.
I was upset that when that orgy scene began, there were two beautiful women who came over to both of them, and then they sort of turned, they both turned to Mark Wahlberg, and then like a grosso, like blonde-tipped, fucking weird guy came over to Jennifer Aniston and started grinding on her. I was like, what the fuck?
But then they all...
She gets this guy?
They all kind of kept changing partners, though.
Thank God.
Like switching... Yeah.
Yeah, that blonde guy, and the blonde guy not established.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, neck.
So much junk.
Like,
I loved it.
This is...
Yes.
This is, like, this is not sexual.
It's just, it's open mouth.
It's like how they kiss in Pittsburgh, I think.
Oh, be careful, Jake. Pittsburgh is listening. The kissing is, I felt like they were just doing playback, and the director was just shouting, kiss grosser. Kiss grosser. Remember, you're drunk. Kiss grosser.
More neck. Yeah. More rub his neck.
Open your mouth wider if possible. try to envelop
Swallow
her.
Him like...
Eat her chin.
Like a praying mantis. Eat them alive.
Swallow her face. Swallow his face.
Rip his tongue out.
This is sex, I think. A virgin directed this movie.
The way that this movie, when he gets called up to the big leagues to be the lead singer of Steel Dragon, he has a pretty amazing intro into the band. Like, he walks off walks down the platform, and then the most amazing slow-mo sequence of a fall that you think, oh shit, the movie's over, this character's dead. Or it's going to take a Regarding Henry-esque turn where we're going to be like, oh.
Shouts to J.J. Abrams.
But it's like, he takes a fall, like two steps, falls about 12 feet on his head.
Oh, no. He falls in a way that is...
Irreparable.
Like, yes.
Irreparable.
I don't want to say the rest of the movie's a Jacob's Ladder scenario, but like... Never has there been a more obvious Jacob's Ladder scenario than the visible death that we watch. Like, this might as well be a snuff film for Mark Wahlberg's character.
And then when he goes down, he immediately then pops back up, doesn't miss a beat of the song, sings it bloody.
By the way, the song's lyric is, "Do you want blood? Or show me blood?" Like, blood is in the lyric of the song, apparently.
God, he got lucky.
He got lucky. Classic.
That scene is so, so bizarre. Yeah, he is fully bleeding from the head. Then he grabs a hose, pretends it's a dick, and then, like, wets down a lot of the audience.
This is what's so weird about the tone of the movie, though. Like, his parents follow him around.
Oh.
They I guess, move from Pittsburgh to, like, well, tour with him.
They can fly out to see a show.
No, I know they can.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
But I'm saying, like, it uh-oh. Almost... But then you also see them partying at one point. Like, the tone of this movie
they're allowed
is just...
to party.
All right. For like older parents whose kids are out of the house.
Remember when they insinuate that the dad loves eating pussy?
Yes! That's insane!
That thing. All right. So at the press conference, we should just show the press conference. This is like, to me, this feels like an improv scene because. It's a throwaway line that then they're like...
It's a short form game called press conference.
Well, no, but like the throwaway line... Well, we'll see. Like here, like so here.
Izzy, is that your name, Izzy?
Yeah, the name's like Izzy, like Izzy's Revenge.
Izzy? Yeah. I'm not calling Izzy.
Pause.
Why does he affect a British accent for only that line?
Yeah.
You'll never hear that again.
Never again.
No, and like when he's on stage, he doesn't even try. He goes... I grew up in Pittsburgh and I with these guys on the wall. Like, it's gone, but is he or is he not? Like, because his name is not Izzy.
Wait, is he or is he not?
But doesn't he also at some point make Jennifer Aniston call him Izzy? Refer to him as Izzy?
Yeah.
Because that's two movies where he insists on being called by another name. I feel like there's a lot of Boogie Nights in this movie, but it's like five times worse.
This is like the trial run for Boogie Nights. Like, yeah, he was like,
also, this guy's hair is a real problem.
So I think we're coming up to the thing here. So here you go.
Keep your voice in such great shape.
Oh, Miss Reed, my choir teacher, she always gives me some really cool exercises.
It's a lot of pussy, that sound.
Oh, yeah, how you go? What
channel is that?
Like father, like son.
Like, how are they watching a press conference?
She said, like father, like son.
And then you go, okay, that's weird. And then they continue it. The next scene, Jennifer Aniston's like, I'm gonna make you an honest man, like, so you're not gonna lie about eating a lot of pussy because you'll eat my pussy. And then the next scene is in the mirror going like, I love pussy. I love pussy. I love pussy. And then Jennifer Aniston's like, hey, stop talking about it. Come on in here and do it. It's like, wow, they really went to town that joke.
That's his, like, are you talking to me moment? That's his taxi driver scene is, like, practicing I eat a lot of pussy. I eat a lot of pussy.
But he would never need to practice that line because he never uses the accent. There you go.
Sorry. His parents, by the way, isn't it nice that his parents support him? I like that his parents were supportive.
Well, I feel like this guy doesn't overcome anything. I feel like his parents are supportive. Yeah. He wears makeup. No one, he never gets made fun of. Like, yep. It's
good
like
point.
He's not a hero. He's just like a really yes. privileged person. He wears makeup in Pittsburgh and people are fine with it.
And when yes. he wears makeup, like, the again, it feels like an almost scene. Like, he's repairing the toner on a copier and the guy goes, is that makeup? And he goes, yeah, I'm in a band. And he goes, like, end of scene. No.
But they also...
No take on that. No anything. It's like, oh, misunderstanding. Most movies...
Genuine misunderstanding.
Yeah.
They also pull up to a truck... and in tons of makeup and long hair, and they sing to these like steel workers, and the guys are like, this is totally normal. This is the town we live in, and I'm fine with it, and I don't hate you. I live in an America that has never existed. I also feel, can we talk about the hair? Because I feel like it's the most hair that's been in any movie.
Oh, it's aggressive hair. It's almost as if like there's a competition, like, that's their wig? I want mine to look like an Elizabethan wig.
I feel like everybody got to choose who they wanted to be. I feel like McNulty was like, I want Brian May hair from Queen. Give me giant, crazy hair.
Well, even Jennifer Aniston, like, I feel like she already had a lot of hair. But once she saw the amount of hair that was going to be in this movie, she, like, took another 2 feet of hair.
More hair, please.
I like that it's measured in feet. Yeah. Give me a yard of hair, please.
I felt genuinely a little bit anxious the whole movie because she had such a heavy, like, chicken grease gloss on that hair was, like, coming for those lips at all times.
Chicken grease gloss.
It's like a gloss. Like, worried about the hair.
I would love nothing more than if she opened a can of chicken grease.
It's a Pittsburgh thing.
Yins want some chicken grease?
The other question I have about her career, though. So if she starts off as his manager, why couldn't she continue to manage him? Like, wouldn't that be a huge career move for her to manage this huge rock star?
Well, I feel like they already have those positions filled.
But I was confused too, like, once she's slotted into, like, they kind of put it, Tim Spall is the band's manager, yeah. And he's like, well, the wives, they ride in that limo over there, no wives on the thing, whatever, whatever. Like, she doesn't get a storyline that is like, well, I'm his manager, like, you're the band's manager. Like, there is no, like, for her moment of, like, well, no, this is my job, you know? She is just relegated to that and wife position.
That part was so weird because that was the how did I get here montage. And yeah. It insinuated that years were passing or, like, that a long time was passing. So she rode in that shitty little car with all those blonde women for years.
And by the way...
You told me this
for years.
And it seemingly like it got the cover of the same magazine like 7 times.
If you told me this movie took place over the course of 7 years, I would believe you.
Interesting thing about the limo scene was that they kept on alluding to all this fun she could have if she wanted to. What did that mean?
Like, she could fuck around too.
Yeah.
Is that all it meant? Like, you can fuck other guys?
Here we go, and I have some interesting facts about this scene.
I know it's crazy, but it comes with the territory. And I mean, you can either drive yourself batty trying to change it, or you can simply adapt.
You gotta let him off the leash for a bit of a romp every once in a while.
Otherwise, they get a little cranky, you know. Besides, at the end of the day, they always come home. Mm. And who's to say that you can't have your own fun?
Exactly. Here's some advice for me. Number one, learn to share.
Oh.
Number two, get very close with his accountant. Mm-hmm.
And number three, don't sign anything, even if it's not typed. I had to learn that the hard way.
Oh, hey, you know what I always say? If you love someone, let them go. And if they come back to you with very expensive and important jewelry, then they're yours and it's really meant to be.
I just hope that I am not as cynical as you are when I am your age.
Honey, she's 23.
22 and a half.
Now, what makes this scene interesting is that all three of these women are actual wives of rock stars. Rachel Hunter was married to Rod Stewart and was in a relationship with Kip Winger, who was in Alice Cooper's band. Heidi Mark was married to Vince Neil. And Carrie Stevens was the girlfriend of the Kiss drummer Eric Carr. So they all are playing
versions
of themselves, which makes it a little bit...
Well, okay, so... And Rachel Hunter's performance in this scene, I don't know what's happened to her, but something very dark and very bad things have happened to her.
This movie did not need to get meta. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit of a waste.
But I would love to follow that Rachel Hunter character.
Rachel Hunter?
Yeah, I guess just Rachel Hunter.
Just follow her on Twitter.
Oh, like, is it that easy?
I think so.
All right.
I would love it also if you wrote a sequel to this movie that just focused on these characters.
That performance, like, what is she telling us with that?
Oh, Paul, can you cue that up again?
Yeah.
And go really near the end, just like there's a, does that say wine limo?
Wife limo.
Okay, sorry. Really good. Keep going. Near the end.
The three shot?
No, the, wait, in the three shot, has the middle person talked at all?
No.
What? I didn't know she was there.
Who is that character? Like, I don't think she's had a single of her own. She's not been in a shot. Who is that?
And they're all drinking out of bottles of vodka.
But when you go back a little bit, there's just like, there's a Rachel Hunter shot where I'm like, oof, she seems very sad.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm
that
saying.
That is like... That
Something
is either
terrible has
fantastic
happened.
Acting or she's like, this is my life.
She
That's the movie I want
to
watch.
That hard, she reacts that hard to this line where she goes, well, this line is weird because she says, did she say important jewelry?
Important jewelry.
Important jewelry. I said, here we go.
Expensive and important jewelry, then they're yours and it's really meant to be.
Whoa.
I just hope.
What happened?
That look is brutal. That look is brutal. And they thought that they should put it in the movie. It's not only that that's what she did on camera. They were like, and we're putting it in.
It is, wow. Interesting thing about this movie was Brad Pitt was supposed to play the lead. And he dropped out due to creative differences.
I like to think of Mark, the character he plays in this movie, as the guy Rachel dated after Ross, but before Brad.
Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the show right now to hear a word from our sponsors. Coming this Thursday, March 1st, to NBC, it's the outrageous new comedy, AP Bio, starring Glenn Howerton and Patton Oswalt. The show is downright funny. It's funnier than it should be for a network show, okay? Glenn Howerton, you know him from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He plays a disgraced Harvard philosophy professor who finds himself at a Toledo high school teaching AP Bio. Only, he refuses to teach biology. That's right. Instead, he uses the students to help him get revenge on his academic rival. The critics, who we all love, all right, are already raving, calling AP Bio laugh out loud funny. Take it from me. I'm no critic. I like this show. It's good. From executive producers Seth Meyers and Lauren Michaels, don't miss the premiere of AP Bio Thursday, March 1st on NBC and streaming now on the NBC app. Also, just a heads up that our t-shirts and merch are on sale at tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. We have amazing shirts, stickers, mugs, whatever the fuck you want to make. We have the designs. You can put it on whatever you want. It's cheap. It's good. There's always sales. So head over to tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. You will like what you see. Kind of like that suit store. You like the way you look. But here, you're going to like the way you look in your HDM merch. I left out a letter. Sorry. Back to our show.
Let's go to the crowd. Let's see what they have to say about this movie. All right, let me come down to you. And tonight, if you ask a good question, or pretty much any question, you'll get a gift from our good friends at IMAX, who one day I showed up to work and I have like boxes of IMAX shit. And so thank you, IMAX. Okay, yes, right over here. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Come on over here to the microphone. Okay. And ask the question in your best British accent, okay? And it could, you know, we've seen what's happened in the movie, so just try it. It doesn't have to work 100%. So, okay, your name?
It's Candy.
Okay, Candy, ask your question, British accent, go.
Can we talk about how after the British accent pussy conversation he has with himself in the mirror, the song is Lick It Up by Kiss?
Wow. Amazing. That was great. You're awesome.
Yes. All the music cues are so obvious. All the music cues are so on the nose. There is no subtlety at all.
Sir, your name?
Greg.
Greg, your question in a British accent, go.
First of all, I have a little something for you.
Okay, great, in a British accent.
Okay. I got a little something for you, Paul and Jason. I have the movie that shall not be named, Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, an actual Jacob's Ladder toy. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. So much.
So I have a question. At the end, when he leaves the band and just walks off stage, where'd the money go? He seems to be hitchhiking home.
Yeah, they didn't pay for a return flight.
Hitchhiking home with a guitar he has never played and will never play. He's not a guitarist.
By the way, I just want to point out that this gentleman is wearing a Steel Dragon shirt.
Wait. Wow.
Where did you... Amazing.
Wait,
is that homemade, or is that... Where did you find that?
Wait a minute. Don't applaud this. Why?
Is that homemade, or did you find that?
Online.
Wow. All right. Get your Steel Dragon shirts. All right. Anyone here actually British? You'll get some heads up if you're actually... You don't have to be British, but if you are... All right. Your name and your question in a British accent.
I'm Eloise. Can I please not do it?
Just try it.
You got this, Eloise.
Okay, so... So, Jennifer Aniston drinks a drink before the orgy scene and then is, like, stumbling around and, like, the creepy manager dude is like, gravity doesn't exist here. And was she drugged?
Was she roofied? I thought the same thing.
I thought she'd been roofied as well. Let me go over here for a second. That was a good question. Here, what do we got? All right, yes, you. All right, your name.
Guys, don't not raise your hands because you don't want to do a British accent. Raise your hand. Be brave, audience. Be brave.
All right, my name's Brittany. My question is, I don't know what this accent is, but they have the orgy, right? Mark Wahlberg wakes up the next day. He walks in. The girl is peeing, standing up. What the fuck?
At the very, here you go, here's your glasses, there you go. Oh, there. All right, so,
what's
obviously.
The question?
It was just like, what happened there?
Oh, she had a dick.
All right.
Yeah. Were you
confused on that?
This movie is pretty homophobic, transphobic, every which way.
But also, like, the band kicks out the singer for being gay, but then is very very progressive on trans issues, which was so confusing.
I couldn't figure out if they were kicking him out because he was gay or if he was using that against them. I couldn't figure that whole conversation out.
And then he's like Irish dancing at the end as if that's a gay thing.
That was also strange.
Michael Flaherty is a virulent heterosexual man.
I just thought...
Flatley? Michael Flatley?
Really?
Yeah, he's super straight, trust me.
Yes, sir, your name and your question in British.
Damon. And on that same point... why is this a world where only gay people don't have big hair? And that's not his big secret is I'm gay, therefore this was always a wig. Even though I have a perfectly healthy full head of hair, I couldn't grow it out because I'm really gay.
That's a good point.
Great point. I'm going to get you an IMAX.
Good point.
All right. One more question. If you're British, you definitely get to ask a question. You're British in the back?
No.
Are you British? All right, come forward. All right, you can come forward. All right. Oh, sorry. All right. A real Brit. Here we go. Hi, how are you? All right.
I got your name and your question.
Kylie, and my question
Kylie,
is...
Kylie, I know you. You're not British.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Kylie, no.
Not a real Brit, Paul.
Kylie, you're getting real grabby with the mic.
Hold the mic, though.
Very grabby with the mic, Kylie. I know you.
Kylie, she's not British, right?
She's not British. She's a lovely individual.
I do want to, like, have a couple more people stand up to figure out if they're really British or not.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, here's the challenge. Who can trick us into thinking they're actually British?
Say one line.
Kylie, you blew it.
Yeah,
also,
Kylie's already not British.
All right, so let's see. All right, ma'am, one line.
One line.
Hello, I have one absolute small question.
Nope.
It was pretty good.
I need one more line. I need one more line.
Do you have a specific line you want me to say, or just...
You're not British.
Yes. All right. These guys are dressed like Steel Panther, by the way. Amazing. All dressed as Steel Panther.
Steel Dragon.
Do you think that
I don't think. Yeah.
I don't
this,
think it.
This right. British
think
chest feels all. Racist. And I love it.
I'll hold it.
Right, cheer up, Chucky. It might never happen.
Yes, totally British. Totally British.
That was real. That was crazy real.
You did it.
Oh, my goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen, Prince Harry.
So this character that Mark is playing, at one point he gets upset at the time on the road, whether it's a week, 7 years, a month. We don't know how long it's been. And then he replaces himself on stage effortlessly. He's like, you can do this? Great, get up here. Later.
That's the weirdest way. Like, it's so easy to be in that band. Yeah. You just have to go to the front of the stage and just scream. And then they're like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard to be in the band at all.
And the fact that the audience is, like, kind of okay with it, they're like, yeah, works for us.
They're on so much heroin, they don't care.
Well, it really is the idea of, like, oh, the interchangeability of these lead singers is like, oh, I guess anybody can do this?
But that's like, not a thing. That's literally not a thing that happens.
Also, that guy's never played these songs live before with this band.
It's also like, I feel like at that moment, it's supposed to be like this really cool thing that Mark Wahlberg is doing for the guy, but it's like the guy who introduces you to smoking when you're 8. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, he just ruined this motherfucker's life. Like, this guy is gonna kill himself
in like 2 years.
It's
like a deal with the devil. It's like,
yeah.
You can replace me because I'm miserable. I'm like, yeah.
Jake, who introduced you to smoking at 8? That is
a British
young
person.
No, so, come on. They just
those
came
people
back
in those roads?
Oh, no. This interview with Jennifer Aniston made me laugh because she is clearly doesn't, like, you'll see what is happening. I feel like she catches herself saying something and then has to kind of back it up a little bit. But she was dating Brad Pitt at the time. That's why the interviewer asked her about Brad Pitt. So here you go.
Did Brad give you any advice to play this role?
Well, you know, there's all sorts of, I can't say he sat down and gave me advice, but he definitely talked me through just sort of her sensibilities, you know, and which we kind of, I figured out sort of anyway, which was just not knowing, because there wasn't much of a part there, so I didn't know how to elevate it. You know, I didn't know what its purpose was, except that once I figured out that she was sort of, you know, I mean, once we developed the character, because there was really nothing at first. And then she sort of became the audience's perspective.
Which I just think is fun. Whoa. That she, or like, it's like,
wasn't much of a part there.
She's not wrong. She's great, though.
She is.
I would watch this movie. Like, that's what this movie is. Like, this movie, when we picked it, I was like, I've seen this on TBS. This is fine. Like, and when you just have to sit and watch the whole thing.
I would argue she is the most interesting character in this movie.
Yeah, 100%.
This movie, if it was from her perspective, more than anybody else's.
Well, she's the only one.
Hang on. I didn't need one single person to applaud through that.
The only thing...
That was me. No, don't. That wasn't what I was doing. What's wrong with you people? More of you need to leave.
She's the smartest, most developed character ultimately. She has a plan. She has a job. She's getting forward. And she's like, you know what? I don't like this lifestyle. I'm going to open up my coffee shop and start a fucking trend in America with independent coffee shops.
And if that falls apart, I'll just pierce people's nipples.
That nipple piercing scene was not fun for me.
No, I couldn't watch that.
It was too
was
many close-ups.
Was that needle sterilized? No, huh?
No, he definitely got an infection. In more ways than one in this movie. I for real feel like the line should have been like when he's playing in the...
You can nipple. Play, go ahead. I won't even play the whole thing because it's really visual, but I will just say that this is the... Oh, yeah, there's a lot of tongue, but this is what I don't want to see. Close-up on needle, in the liquor, and then... Here we go. Hold on one second. We don't have to get that close. We don't need it.
And you know that's not Mark Wahlberg. So you know they're like, Does anybody want to get their nipple pierced today? And some grip was like, I'll do it.
So then they do it. They get the nipple. They cut away from this. Sorry, June. They cut away from. Oh, here we go. We have to play it, I guess. They cut away from it, and cut away. And then as soon as you think, oh, it's over, thank God, boom, right back in.
Which is, by the way, like a paperclip. Like a twisted up paperclip is what she puts in.
It looks so painful.
Oh, yes, painful. I agree with Paul, painful. I don't mean hot.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It's now time for second opinions.
You know, I'm just a normal guy. I grew up with posters of these guys on my wall. And now I'm one of them. Stand up and shout! Stand up and shout! Five stars for Marky Mark! Five stars! Don't know what you want or what you're thinking. I can change your taste in movies. Read my Amazon and you will see. Opinions are all you'll ever get from me. Roll up!
What's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan, well, here we go. Here's a book by our friend Scott C., and you can have that and have a seat. Thank you so much.
Great job, Ryan!
Wow. Holy cow.
Wow. Here's the thing. I would ask now our audience to take that raw vocal track and put music to it.
That was pretty fucking impressive. And that guy was nervous to come up, like, I think I got something. Meanwhile, he had a fucking whole act worked out flawlessly.
And by the way, Ryan, like, sat like a fucking gentleman, waited until nobody raised their hand, and then was like, fine, I'll fucking do it. I'm looking at you four dudes dressed like Steel Dragon who were like, let's dress up but not prepare a song. You blew it, dummies.
Well, here we go. 502 reviews for this film. 50% five stars.
50%?
Yes.
Are five stars?
Yes.
Holy shit.
So this one is called My All-Time Favorite Rock and Roll Movie by Rick Brunson. Having spent a number of years on the road with an American hard rock band, Reed, Whitesnake, Def Leppard, Van Halen, I was blown away by the authenticity of Rockstar. In particular, the characters were believable and authentic. Reed, egocentric, self-absorbed, with a dash of charisma. The film is an accurate depiction of how it really is, headlining and living the life. For those of you who lived or want to experience the edgy, in-your-face, hardcore era, this is it. Five stars. And by the way, a majority of these reviews express a very similar sentiment.
So all of them are written from people who are in bands?
Yeah. A lot are. A lot are. This one's written by G. Madison. What can I say? Excellent movie. Mark Wahlberg, excellent. FYI, when I submitted my first review, it was based on the TV version. Now that I've seen the uncut DVD version, I want to say I don't care for the raunchy, vulgar, sexually related terms like the P, the D, and the F word. I know that doesn't bother many others, and I know those terms are used in many R-rated movies, and they should be expected in a movie about a rock band, but I just want to make it clear that I don't care for that. Aside from that, though, an excellent movie. 5 stars.
What else was there besides that in the movie?
The version he watched was 45 minutes long.
This is from AI Baruti. As one who fully accepts that you are what you desire and act upon, this movie hits the spot. Not only is it about more than music, as alluded to, it is about life itself. Life in the sense that we all have a secret, and sometimes not so secret, dream that we all hold within. More often than not, such a dream goes unrealized. Perhaps this will be lost on some, then again, maybe not. But live your life, and you will feel me. Defer not your dreams, for they are the very thing that can and will and do guide the ship that you call your life. 5 stars.
I would bet my life that Wahlberg wrote that review himself.
This one right here. This is just a one-liner. This is from Randy Given. I've seen many movies of this genre. Although movies like Almost Famous have won more awards, this movie is my favorite. It's more honest. 5 stars. Almost Famous, written by someone who actually was on the road with... no big deal. D. Roush writes this. Yep, that's right. With Rockstar, a film where he went to take a piss is the ultimate catchphrase. Not all the cliches in the world can stop it from being a really deep drama. Half of you probably think I'm on crack. Oh, well, I'm not, by the way. With the vehicle for this rite of passage themed story being heavily dipped in 80s excess, many people trash this movie despite its somewhat tongue-in-cheek satirical treatment. But you know what? You're missing the point of the film. What is life about? Yes, folks, that is the question. And a little movie called Rockstar left me pondering that as I exited the theater. And more recently, when I turned off the DVD player. 5 stars. And then this one should be read in a Cockney British accent. Well, anyone want to take a shot at that?
You made everybody else do it.
All right, I'll say it like this. Bloody hell, mate, this flick is tops, man. Long live Steel Dragon and stand up and shout! A must for any music lover. 5 stars. There you go. Those are our 5-star reviews.
By the way, that was a great rendition, really, of Stand Up and Shout.
Yeah, really solid, right?
I would love it if that became your karaoke song.
Stand up! No, I lost it.
There was one more piece of trivia I just wanted to say. When I Googled this movie, I went to the Wikipedia page, and the movie came out September 7, 2001. Which was 4 days before 9/11, which Mark Wahlberg said he could have stopped. But he couldn't save his own movie, so I doubt it. And I think it's a beautiful part about this movie's history. Go to Wikipedia, it's real.
Just a couple of quick facts about the movie. The tagline is the story of a wannabe who got to be. And also, it was made for $57 million.
Oh, my God.
And, yes. And it made $17 million. I do believe that the 9/11 probably affected that.
$57
million? $57 million. Dollars.
American?
This is made in, American dollars. And here, if you were following with us, this movie, the top three movies of the year were Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Lord of the Rings, and Shrek. And this movie came out 108th in all the movies that came out there. And it was beaten by a movie that we did called Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. But however, it beat On the Line, a movie that we did with the NSYNC kids, and Glitter. So it didn't fall to the bottom of the track there.
Was that Hubcap and Turkey Sandwich?
Yeah, that was
Turkey
On the Line.
Sub.
Yeah.
Turkey Sub.
So there we go. Any other final thoughts on Rockstar?
I didn't care for it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Would you recommend this movie?
I would not. I would not. It didn't cross over into being so fun to me that it would be necessary really to watch. You could watch it, like, you could get a taste of it, but I don't think you need to watch the whole movie.
I feel like when I watch a trailer, I was like, oh, yeah, I got that movie.
Pretty much. Yeah. You know, it's kind of...
I don't think it's necessary to watch.
And how about the soundtrack from?
What's that?
Soundtrack, June?
I would argue it's most interesting before he gets into Steel Dragon. Like, the battle of the Steel Dragon tribute bands is more interesting to me than anything else.
I hear that. Jake, what do you think?
This is just one random thing. Why did it have bookends of documentary footage? That was another weird thing. It's like, this isn't a documentary, and it's not cool. Stop.
Yeah, it felt like that was a half idea that they were like, oh, but yeah, let's forget that. Like, it was like, because it really is, there's no other...
What are we talking about here? Yeah, I don't know. I love the movie, and I think everyone should watch it.
So, Jake, you
Bold
have a...
take. Hot take by Jake.
Jake, so your show, which you created, Corporate, is on Comedy Central. It's really funny. How would you describe it? I mean, it's like, I feel like the most realistic version of like corporate, like cubicle America kind of a show.
It's kind of like Office Space meets American Psycho. And basically, it's like how, you know how most offices, you know how like even you're at this job right now and it's a really great job, but you still want to die. That's kind of what everyone feels at every job. That's what the show's about.
And it's got a great cast. It's on Wednesday nights, but you can watch it on the Comedy Central app.
At cc.com at any time, yeah.
Perfect. Gene, what would you like to plug?
I will plug Grace and Frankie because the fourth season is streaming right now. So you can watch that.
Jason?
Oh, I got nothing.
I will say,
and we've plugged this before, but I will say, Paul and I did another episode of the Chris Gethard Show.
Oh, yeah.
It's on True TV. I don't know how to watch it at this point, but in the first 2 minutes of the show, Chris Gethard abandons his own talk show and leaves Paul and I holding the hat for an hour-long live television broadcast.
We had nothing scripted, nothing to do. No one told us anything.
We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know he was leaving.
Yeah.
And we fucking crushed it.
We killed it. We brought a tortoise out there. We brought the entire audience on the street. It's good. And I would say it's worth the money to just buy it on an iTunes or something.
If it exists on iTunes, I would say buy it.
Yeah, it's called The Chris Gethard Show. And also, if you want to just chime in and check in with us about anything that gets on your mind, your life, your problems, the movie Rockstar, give me a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. We'll play those on the mini episode. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. A big thank you to everyone who helps make this show possible. Avril Halley, who puts together all those amazing clips. She has a show called Movie Bitches on YouTube. July Diaz is up in the booth. Nate Kiley does all of our research. Kelly Alto puts this whole thing together. Kyle Waldron, Largo, everybody here at Largo, everybody at Earwolf. Thank you guys so much. See you again. Bye-bye.
That's the show, but it doesn't end here. Listen to our mini episode where the discussion about this movie continues. You can give us a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. I'll answer all your questions about this movie or even about your life. And make sure you jump on the Earwolf message boards about this movie. We do read it. We will pick the best ones for our mini episodes. Also, if you like How Did This Get Made and you want to wear it or put it as a sticker or have it as a cell phone case, head over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, and you can check out all of our amazing merch like Put Her in a Bra or the Jason Zardoz shirt, which I particularly love. A big thanks to Kelly Alto, Avril Halley, July Diaz, Nate Kiley, and Leanna Waldron, all who come together and put this show and help me do the show every single week. But More importantly, everybody here at Earwolf, their amazing engineering team that puts together this episode, makes it sound absolutely flawless. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm not going to explain where. You can figure it out, but it's pretty much HDTGM. And if you want to hear our back catalog, that's right. We only have 50 episodes available right now for free, but our back catalog is available on Stitcher. You can hear every episode that we've ever done commercial free. And if you sign up now, you can even hear this episode commercial free. How about that? Make sure you rate and review us on the iTunes. We like that. It's fun and we have a good time with it. And make sure you tune in to our mini episode next week because we're going to tell you what we're watching. See you next week. Bye for now. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show. And just one more reminder, do not miss the premiere of the hilarious new breakout comedy AP Bio from executive producers Seth Meyers and Lauren Michaels. AP Bio stars Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Patton Oswalt from Everything Good and Funny. Critics call it laugh out loud funny, and you know what? I fucking agree. AP Bio premieres Thursday, March 1st on NBC. That's right. Start streaming it right now. That's right. Right now. You don't even have to wait for March 1st on the NBC app. Three episodes are up, and you can watch them. Watch the shit out of them. AP Bio, March 1st.
Hello, hello. This is an ad for my podcast, Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we wet our pants about electoral democracy. I am the host, Nagin Farsad, your friendly neighborhood Muslim podcaster. Every Thursday, I'm joined by a rotating cast of politically savvy pals, folks like John Lovett from Crooked Media.
If Ruth Bader Ginsburg has a step-in tub, you get that thing the fuck out of her house. Because if she has to step over even a lip to bathe, it's unacceptable.
Like John Fugelsang from SiriusXM.
I have a bumper sticker that says impeach Pence first because he's all the evil but half the comedy value, so he's useless to me.
And other people not named John. Every episode we break down the news, we ridicule our popular vote-losing minority president Donnie Twimp, and we do it in three tasty little segments with a cool bell at the start of each one. Yeah, like that. To hear more, just check out Fake the Nation on Stitcher or wherever you listen. New episodes drop every Thursday afternoon.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer.
And I'm Amy Nicholson.
And we have a brand new podcast called Unspooled, where we are watching the 100 greatest films of all time.
Voted on by the AFI. We're going to be starting at number one, Citizen Kane, jumping to number 100 with Ben-Hur, and doing films that we've never even watched before.
And we'll be talking to experts, whether it's a cinematographer or a stuntman. We're going to get behind these movies and figure out what makes them so great. So if you like the way this sounds, why don't you subscribe right now to Unspooled, wherever you listen to your podcasts.